is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the horse of our father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Amazing Prophecies, in the book of Genesis. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is the Florida Boys with When He Was on the Cross, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bones. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. A look of love on his face, the thorns on his head, the blood was on that scarlet robe and stained crimson red. Ahead in time, 'cause when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
He knew me, yeah.
The heavens shine.
We're talking today about prophecy, and this is an investigation, let's just call it, into the power of prophecy revealed in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. You know, Jesus is identified in the book of Revelation as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And I know, you know, Genesis means the beginning too, and I know that this is the amazing thing. Revelation tells the story of the end. But Genesis is a story of man's beginning. Some people say, well, what about God's beginning? Well, I guess you're just going to have to wait till you get to heaven and ask him about that. I don't know if he had a beginning. The Bible says he didn't. He just always was or is. I'd like to debate that with you a while, too. That'd be so much fun. But we're not going to talk about that, as powerful as that would be today. I just don't have enough intelligence to handle it all, to be very honest with you. I don't know if anybody does. There are mysteries of God. But I'll tell you this much. The Bible says there is a mystery you can know, and he has a name, Jesus Christ. He is the mystery of godliness revealed to the saints. But of course, he's concealed from the vulgar, from the coarse, from those who are rebellious against him. They don't know him. They're totally blind. They're totally in the dark. But if you want to know a mystery, believe in Jesus Christ, be born again, and your eyes will open to amazing things. Just like the book of Genesis, we talked about some amazing things. We talked about Sirius, the dog star. He's going to return, the dog star. Sirius, and that evidently is Satan's planet. The New Agers also call it Shambhala. I just call it hell. But many people are talking about Planet X is coming. Sirius, the dog star. Every so many thousands of years, you see, it makes a cycle in the heavens and then it comes. And it has two smaller stars that are rotating around it, we're told. Three of them. Is that the unholy Trinity? And is that the star represented by the pentagram or the pentacle, the star of the devil? Is this the star, planet, hell, from which these demons will come? We know that in the book of Revelation, it says that at a certain moment in time, an angel will be loosed and will go, and he will have the key to the pit. He will open up the pit, and from this pit will come incredible legions of devils. 200 million more will be added to this earth. If you think it's hellish now, think about when that pit is open, friends. And they have an angel that rules over them, and he has a name. And his name, the Bible says in Revelation, is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, the Greek language, his name is Apollyon. Now there's a mystery even there, isn't he? Abaddon. Abba means father in Hebrew. Don is believed to be Dan. Abaddon. The father of Dan? Could it be that the father of Dan is the dark angel who leads the very denizens of hell, the legions of devils from the pit that will invade earth in the last days, tens of millions of devils to torment the people of this planet? Abaddon, Father Dan. Now, in the Greek tongue, the Bible says his name is Apollyon. Of course, Apollo was the great sun god. But he had a father. Just like Dan has a father named Satan. Apollyon had a father too. If you look at your $1 bill,
you'll see the father of Apollo. Isn't that interesting? Zeus, he was called. That was one of his names. And by the way, when you visit the United Nations, make sure when you go into the entrance to stop and bow down for just a few minutes at the statue of Zeus. Oh, yes, it's there. Right inside the opening doors of the United Nations. The great statue of Zeus, whose son, Apollo. Apollyon, that means Apollo and On. On was a great city in Egypt. It's all coming together, isn't it, dear friends? Now, let's talk a little bit more today about the book of Genesis and prophecy. I want to start, by the way, with, instead of Genesis, with 2 Peter. I mentioned to you last week that the day of the Lord, said Peter, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I'm telling you, my friends, that's pretty scary, isn't it? Verse 6, by the way, of that same chapter mentions that the world in the days of Noah was overflowed with water and perished. But the heavens and the earth have been kept and reserved by God unto fire against the day of judgment. He destroyed the world one time by water, and now by fire it will be destroyed. In fact, Peter said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, you know about them, they're going to happen before they happen, he says, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Friends, believe me, these things are going to occur. Now, I heard a preacher on Trinity Broadcasting Network, one of the top prophecy teachers there, he said, don't let anybody fool you. This earth is not going to be destroyed. We're going to live here forever. This is going to be the new paradise. Why? We're going to rebuild Jerusalem, the great earthly Israel, and the Jews will rule over all of the earth, and we Gentiles will be coming right back to this earth from heaven. And so we will live here on earth forever. Say what? I guess he forgot to read this verse in Peter that says the earth and all the works therein shall be burned up. This is the problem with people today that cannot let go of this planet and all of its riches, so-called, and all of its wealth and its treasures and all of its carnal lust. They can't bear. I'm sure there are many people that call themselves out, that call themselves Christians today out there in radio land, and they say, oh, I hope the rapture doesn't come today. I got a big party scheduled for Saturday night. I got a football game I got to watch. I've got a basketball, the NBA tournament, the Sweet 16 of the NCAA. I can't do that. Hey, the Miss America pageant's going to be on next week. My boxing match I wanted to see. I got to go to a sewing seminar to learn how to sew or be a seamstress, says a wife. I got a hot date, says a young teenage girl or boy. We can't go up in the rapture now. They want to hold on to whatever they've got. Well, I just bought me a new car. Don't want the rapture to come today. Let me enjoy driving this new Mustang or whatever it is for a few weeks or months. Well, if that's your first love, God will just let you keep driving it. You might be driving that Mustang a long, long time after we're already gone, dear friends. Those who know Jesus. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, it says in verse 12 here in Peter, 2 Peter, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But before that happens, some other things are going to occur. And Daniel in chapter 12, verse 4, talks about it. It says there's going to be an explosion of knowledge. Well, we have the people running around today that claim they have PhDs. A lot of them are just liars. They don't have doctorate degrees, but some do. There's doctor this and doctor that. Even in Christendom, have you noticed that many of these pastors today love to be called doctor? And most of them didn't even earn it. Billy Graham, he never went to college to earn his doctorate. He doesn't have an earned doctorate degree, but they call him Dr. Billy Graham and he eats it up. There's Dr. Paul Crouch. There's doctor this and doctor that. None of them earn their degrees, but they love to be called doctor. Well, Daniel says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Boy, everybody's running to and fro. The soccer moms, they just can't wait to get from one place to another in their new van or their new SUV. Running to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Unfortunately, 2 Timothy says they will be people of fierce countenance, despisers of those that are good. The knowledge they have will be evil knowledge for the most part. And look at the kind of things they develop with their knowledge. They develop weapons of war. Weapons of war. You know, in his book Hiroshima, noted author John Hersey described the torrid after effects of the atomic blast on the hapless human victims. Listen to what he says. Now, these are actually eyewitness reports of what happened in Japan the last days of World War II when we dropped bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Hersey writes, their faces, that's the victims of the atomic bomb blast in Japan, their faces were wholly burned. Their eye sockets were hollow. The fluid from their melted eyes had run down their cheeks. Amazing. But listen to this. You want a prophecy, my friends? Read Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. We find a chilling prophecy that matches almost word for word this same description of the nuclear effects on the bodies of victims. It says, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Hersey says in Japan, with the atomic bomb blast, their eye sockets from the burning were hollow, the fluid ran down from their eye sockets, their melted eyes ran down their cheeks. Here we have their eyes shall consume away in their holes, says in Zechariah. But that's not all. Isaiah talked about the heat and the raging infernos generated by a nuclear blast and the great destruction to come following a world nuclear conflict. Isaiah wrote, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. Jesus said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And then we talk about the wonders in the heavens. Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 30 says, and I, that's God speaking, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Friends, we have ICBMs, we have space satellites, we have weapons in space. And I'm telling you, you're going to see wonders in the heavens, and you're going to see blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. We turned on our TVs during the Iraq War. What did we see? On the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. Wonders in the heaven. We saw all kinds of new aircraft and smart missiles, just as was prophesied. Isaiah says, therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Ezekiel chapter 38 says, the mountain shall be thrown down, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Do you know of any time in history when all of the mountains fell down, and the walls, every wall fell down? You know, I think man is becoming too intoxicated with all of his technological conquest. I studied these as an Air Force officer, of course, and I taught young Air Force officer candidates all about the technologies of sea-launched ballistic missiles and MIRV, multiple independent reentry vehicle warheads. I taught these things to my students, but recently I was reading the works of a man named Gabriel Nahaus. He's a world-famous biochemist and researcher, and Mr. Nahaus said that he's worried about the future. He says, I believe that man today is intoxicated by all the technological conquests that have been made, in particular, the conquest of space and the moon landing. The moon landing, conquest of space. Is man, in fact, intoxicated by all these technological conquests? My mind went back to the book of Genesis as I read Mr. Niehaus's statement. Here was a time when men evidently were intoxicated with their success, and they were united as one at Babylon. Let me read chapter 11. Isn't it interesting, the number 11, like in 9-11? There's a lot of significance to numbers, my friends, and 11 is a very different number, let's just say. And someday we'll talk about that. Chapter 11, verse 1 of Genesis says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." Let me stop right now. Is the world today of one language? Yes. Today. You say, no, Tex, they speak dozens of languages. Friends, I'm telling you, everywhere you go in the world today, the language of commerce is English. Because America is the great economic and military and diplomatic powerhouse. And everyone wants to learn English. You go to Somalia, they speak English. You go to Germany. You go to Belgium. You go to Brazil, Argentina. They speak English. Not everybody, but enough to get by. That's the pathway to riches. Speak like the Americans. Speak English. We are of one language and of one speech. And if they don't speak English, they have a way to communicate together. It's called the internet. The whole world uses the internet. And who leads the internet? Well, the nations that speak English. Britain and America. We're of one accord today, are we not? Except for those few rogue nations that Bush talked about. But remember what he said, if you're not for us, you're against us. Ah, yes, they've been singled out. And we're going to have it as Genesis said, when the earth was of one language and of one speech. Verse 2 says, "And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to." That means listen up. Listen to me. Pay heed. "Let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, listen again, "for let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." They said, let's build a tower, a city, the top of which of this tower will reach unto heaven, and let us make a name.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Vital Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.